open fields of wildflowers. She breathes the air and flies away.
She thanks her Jesus for the daisies
and the roses. No simple language, someday she'll understand
the meaning of it all.
He's more than the laughter or the stars in the heaven. As close as a heartbeat or a song on her lips. Someday she'll trust him and learn how to see him. Someday he'll call her and she will come running and fall in his arms. And the tears will fall down and she'll pray, I want to.
Love. and a mighty wind came down and blew away half the congregation. Well, I was kind of curious who I see today, so. Happy to see we have at least more than halfway today. All you brave souls that came out this morning. Get any wind last night at your house? Good grief. It was a whiteout last night. All right, well, through all the storms, the one thing holding us together is love. So let's sing a song. Let's stand up. You guys can sing extra loud this morning. One, two, three, four.
Woo!
wind blew back in. It was like half full here a minute ago. Now all of a sudden, the people showed up. What's that thing? Here's a church, here's a steeple. Awesome, man.
The wind and the snow blow, and there's all the people.
Yeah. All right, well, welcome, all you latecomers. I was worried for a minute there. I thought you got blown away last night. Sing it up.
There's no space that his love can reach. There's no place where we can find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. Yeah. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, and I'm holding on. I am love like this. Oh my God, to find. I'm overwhelmed with the joy divine. Love like this sets our hearts on fire.
Sets our hearts on fire.
1, 2, 3. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, and I'm holding on. I am. This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run.
Let's go, church.
This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run. There's no space that his love can reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. And I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, and I'm holding on. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am. I am. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am.
Thank you, Lord God. We just praise you that no matter what's going on outside, that we can come together and worship you. And we just ask that your presence just be real mighty right here, right now, God, whether it's in this place right now through the sanctuary, whether it's church online, or whether it's in our Sunday school. God, just move in a mighty way. We give you praise in your name. Amen. All right, here we go. Good morning. Good morning. All right, first things first. I'm gonna do this one first because this is one thing I forgot. Look what I'm holding. What is this? It's a ribbon. What does it say? Says third place. We won third place in our group for the parade. Here we go. We're not going to tell you how many were in that section, but it was good. We won. But thanks to everybody who put that together, and that was great. I want to welcome you here today, and I want to start. There's Nicole was with us, and she went back, and she just wanted to show, made a quick video to let her know that she got back to Australia very quickly, and I want to show this about 30 seconds.
I want to let you know that I have safely landed in Australia, and though I am slightly jet-lagged, I am definitely enjoying the sunshine and the summer weather. I wanted to say thank you so much for all of your prayers and your support financially and with your words of encouragement. It all means so much to me, and I had a great time being in worship with you guys again and spending the time that I did with you. I hope that you guys have the most blessed and amazing year. It's going to be a great year ahead of us, and I just send my love and my prayers from here in Australia, and I miss you guys, and I cannot wait to see you guys next year. Love you. Mwah. Bye.
All right. We all wish we were down in the summer with her, correct? So I think she got there, and it was like 95 degrees. Wow. Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Welcome, visitors. If you're here, well, welcome. We know you were probably headed to Walmart, and you got blown in, and that's okay. That's part of God's new way to do that. But no, we are glad that you're here joining us, and we also welcome everyone who's on church online today as well. You can see some of the announcements. This Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we are going to be the men's group is going to be beginning a new study. How many of you have beards or can grow a beard? Anybody? Because it's going to be a Duck Dynasty study, correct, Jake? So you don't have to grow a beard. I grow beards. My mouth is full of hair, I guess you would say, because of that. But look, here you go. Norman got a good start already on the study. But in case you don't know, those guys are very committed to their faith, always have been, and they put together a men's study that we're going to begin. So if you'd like to connect, Jake, wave your hand back there, and there's also information online or in your bulletin if you want to connect about that. Please also read the Stephen Ministry moments. They're very important for us for prayer. Dining for Women, you can look here for Dining for Women. That will be February 18th. There's information there if you want to do that and check with that. Emergency Rotating Shelter, I think today is the last week. Sign up for that this week. Yeah, Joanne, anything else? Okay, so still need some shifts taken care of. So if you would like to, please go ahead and connect right outside the store after church, or also you can, her information is online. You can connect with her as well. Parish Foundation today. It is today, tonight. And so we want to go ahead and be ready to connect there if you would like to. Emergency packs, we are still collecting them. And then mark your calendars. Hope Ministry event on March the 8th. Mark your calendars. It's a first ministry event, and invite anybody. It's called Redeemed, the Testimony of a Lost Soul. And you can see Amanda Stewart found freedom through a relationship with Christ from addiction, and now a clinical technician at a drug and alcohol detox facility in Kennett Square. Amanda is very active in local recovery efforts in the area and speaks regularly at the detention center in Cecil County and in rehab centers in Kent and other regular meetings. So if you know someone who's struggling with addiction, families who are dealing with that, or you just want to educate somebody, by all means, invite anybody. It's open to anybody that you want to go ahead and connect and bring in here and see if there's anything else. And then, as always, if you have prayer requests, as we're going to move to that time, you can add those online, or you can go ahead and fill out in the back of the church, and we will go ahead and share those as part of our church today. Correct? Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer if we can right now. As we look at this, Lisa Osborne. Oh, okay. Yeah, Lisa, you shared that for me. Thank you, dear. This week was kind of a challenging week. I know Drew Dimbakowicz here lost his grandmother, and she was like a mother to me, the Fanning family. And Janet was, she was a tough lady, but she did it out of love and opened her heart. And so her viewing is tonight, and her service will be tomorrow. And she was a very, very special lady to me in my life. Rhonda Elkins asked for prayer for her daughter's safe travel back home. And also a praise for Frank Kathy, the Lord gave her a job just in time. And that's how God works, correct? Just in time. And again, continue to lift up the Dimbakwits and family, Fanning families and friends during that time. Andy asked for prayer for Andrew Guyberson, who is recovering from surgery. And I'm glad you added that because I did see Dave this week. And also we want to lift up the Killo family as they're having some challenges and prayers with family. Is that correct? With health. So we want to continue to lift Chris and family up as well. Okay? Anyone else have anything? So we'll just touch on them really quickly.
I have joy. I will have been cancer-free for 11 years on Wednesday.
Okay. In case you didn't hear that, Judy said she's been cancer-free for 11 years on this week. So we praise God for that as well. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, and we thank you for your presence in our lives. Ultimately, God, no matter as the songs say today, in the middle of the storm, we hold on to you, God, and that it is your presence that gets us through all things. You are our anchor. You are our rock. And so, God, with the many challenges and concerns that we have today, we ask that we just, as that first video showed today, that we just set those aside and focus, fix our eyes on you. That's what this chapter 12 of Hebrews talks about, just focusing our eyes on you. And so, God, the winds may swirl outside and it may be cold, and maybe that's a metaphor for our lives, that there's constantly just seems like we're in the midst of a snowstorm where we can't see in front of us, we can't see behind us, we're pushed both all the ways. God, let us just put our security and our foundation in you. And so, God, for all these prayers that we've lifted up, for those who have loss of a loved one, for those who are dealing with physical ailments, for those who are seeing those that they love break down and having to come up with decisions and other kinds of things about care and health, God, just give them clear direction in all things. And so, Lord, in all things, we glorify your name, and we ask that this time be an amazing time of worship for you. Whether we're here today, this is the time where we can give back through your tithe and our offerings in the offering plate, or whether we're online, we thank you for technology that at a click of a mouse, we can go ahead and just share with you how much you mean to us. And so, God, let the scripture says you love a cheerful giver, and help us give cheerfully so that we can meet the many needs that are expanding all the time in this lost and fallen world. But ultimately, God, may people come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
like if we can all just get still. It's a powerful words in the song. If we can just sing that chorus again, just everybody together. If you want to stand, go ahead. If you want to remain where you're seated, just worship the Lord and sing these key verses that Jesus, He loves me.
Jesus, He loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Oh, Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. Oh, Jesus.
Right. Here we are, week three already. Where did time go, huh? Doesn't it seem like the weeks go faster and faster and faster? And I get younger and younger and younger. One can hope, correct? I'm gonna start today by reading from Hebrews chapter 12. And I'd like you to stand with me, if you will. Don't worry, you're not in a, I don't know, we're not doing the hokey pokey, but just go ahead, or Simon says, just stand up. We're going to go ahead, and today we're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 12. That's been where we've been. And we're going to start, and if you're at home, you stand up too. God knows whether you're not standing or not. But we're going to start in verse 14 and work our way through 17 today. 7. Yeah, there we go. Sounds good to me. All right, here we go. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. See to it that no one misuses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance and rights as the oldest child. Afterward, as you know, he wanted to inherit this blessing. He was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. May God just enrich the reading and hearing of his word. Amen?
Amen.
Have a seat. Now, I know this section of scripture is called, sermon series is called chapter 12. But we're only going to talk about a couple of those verses. Most of the time, we're going to be in Acts chapter 5 today. So it's actually kind of chapter 5. If you would like to say. But it's based off of chapter 12, which led me to chapter 5 of Acts. And today's theme is you got to have B.O. Right? Is that correct? Everybody's got to have B.O.? I was thinking about that, you know, the play on words here. And don't worry, I'm not going to go into a whole thing about body odor, but you'll be good. But I really want to go ahead and look at this this one verse that we have up here. When we look at the verse that is beginning from Hebrews chapter 12, one that we kind of start on this, and it tells us in 12 verse 3, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles." Remember that first week we shared about that? But then it goes on to tell us that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And when I began to look at this has been a series about endurance and pressing through certain things and continually pressing through. And so this week, what I realized, when we are in a race, this race of life, that this whole section of Scripture has been talking about several things. Last week, we talked about discipline, and I got really good feedback. It sounds like your parents really got you as well as mine did me in life. As we look at this area, we've talked about some discipline, but this week, I want to talk about B.O. Everybody say, "I need some B.O. See, I can make you guys say anything from this place. It's pretty awesome. And what I'm talking about today is I'm talking about bold obedience. We want to talk about bold obedience. I believe it's one of the most important things that keeps us from enduring in our faith. I also believe it's one of the main things that just stops us in our tracks and has us miss out on the blessings that God has for us.
Amen.
Just stopping. And I want to begin, and some of you may have heard this story, some of you have not heard it, but several years ago when I was in school, I had some friends we had some stuff to do, and then we were going to go have some fun in Philadelphia. And we were going to go down to South Street. And anybody been to South Street? It's a fun place, and just to go ahead and go through. So I was on my way to meet them, and I was going to stay the night, and we were just going to goof around after we, you know, a little bit of work, a lot of goofing around, that kind of stuff, and just have fun and partake of good cheesesteaks and all the kind of good stuff that they have in Philadelphia. And on my way up, I was not using Easy Pass then. I don't even think Easy Pass was around, and I certainly was not going to pay. So I did the loop around the toll, like everybody who lives here knows how to do. Correct? You know what I mean? How you loop around and get back on 95. And I was doing that, and I realized I needed gas. So I pulled in, and as I was coming down the road, they have that the one gas station. Like, here's Boston, whatever it's called, Market Chicken, something, Boston Snowstorm, whatever it is now. And it's all the way on this side. And I was at the stoplight, and I looked over, and I saw this young girl that was there, and it just seemed like there wasn't anything fantastic about her. So don't think I'm a pervert or anything. And I'm just looking at this. But I was like, I looked over, and just there was something that spoke to me about her. And I was like, I looked, and I was just like, we do, okay, all right, whatever. And I went on, I pulled into the gas station on this side, the one before you get on 95, after Boston, whatever it's called now. And so I was in there, I'm filling up on gas, I'm going, and I'm filling on gas, and I'm sitting there, and I hear this, "Excuse me," and I turn, and I look, and guess who it is? The girl from across the highway. Now, that's not an easy highway to get across, but here she is. Now, this is around the time, several years ago, when there was a lot of hurricanes and things that really affected areas of Carolina and other types of stuff like that. And here's this girl, and she says, I hate to approach you, but I'm on my way from wherever it was, Carolina or somewhere like that, and I'm going to my parents' house and such and so, and we lost everything we have. I'm on my way here. And believe me, as a pastor, I have heard every excuse in life. And the immediate reaction for me is, here comes somebody asking for something, and they don't need it. They're going to use it for blah, blah, blah. And I remember I was holding on to the gas nozzle, and I'm sitting there, and it was like I was frozen in time, and I could have, everything froze, and I could have walked out and gone, what do you think, Jack? I don't know. What do you think, Jack? And I'm going through that discussion in my mind while she's talking, and I just got this thing from God saying, give her some money. Now, I didn't have any money, but what I did have is a money card, and they had a money teller in there, and I said, okay. I said, well, come with me. I said, how much do you need? Part of that is my my cynical self, seeing if they how much they want. She said, anything, a couple dollars, $5, $4, $3, $1, whatever you need. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking about this, and all of a sudden, I go, and I'm in the money teller, and I figured, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll get the money I need to go with my friends out to eat, have fun, that kind of stuff. So I did that. I put it in there, and I decided to take out like $30. You know, we weren't going to have a ton of fun, and I figured they could pay for the rest. But I was there, and I had like $30. So I had a 10. I know what I got. I got like 35 because I had a 5, I had a 10, and I had a 20. So I'm sitting there, and I go, I get ready to give her the 5. And I hear God clearly say, give her the 20. I said, don't tempt me, Satan. Because you're talking to Jack. I'm not giving away $20. And then God says, no, you know what? Give her 30. I'm like, okay, this has got to be God because now you're up in the ante here. Let's go back to that 20, God. And I took it and I just gave it to her, gave it all to her. Now, meanwhile, she stopped and the look on her face was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I was just asking that somehow something would, a miracle would happen, and I walked across the road not knowing why, and here it is. Now, I'm still dealing with the fact that I've given away $35. And I'm struggling with God with this. But then I saw her, and I said, you know what? That's not for me. That's from God. She just was crying. She walked out, went across the road, and got there. And I got back in my car, and then I realized I don't have any money myself. So I had to go and pay some, you know, pay the fees on taking it in there. But this was sticking in my mind. And later that week, I grabbed it was like getting from the time where you have switch clothes, so I needed to go ahead and have like a windbreaker or a winter coat or something. And I reached in to the pocket of my jacket, and I pulled out $40. Now, you can say that I left that there from the year before, but I know Jack Cohen. I don't leave $40. A couple bucks, yeah, but $40, I'm not leaving it in a jacket. And what I believe is that through that being obedient to God at that moment, that God blessed me as well, blessed her and blessed me. And I may never see her again in my life. She could be sitting in the front row. I wouldn't know who she is. But at that moment, riding down the road from me getting to point A and point B, God spoke to me. Now, there's another time where I needed to go ahead. I was a pastor in Lewis. I was running late. We were getting ready for the bishop. And when the bishop comes, he's really important. And so you got to put on lots of air and act like everything's wonderful. And so I was running late. I pulled into Elkton Walmart to get something that I needed to make it look great for the bishop. And this girl came up to me in the parking lot about 5 o'clock in the morning, because I'm headed down to Lewis, and says, hey, do you have any money that I can have? And what'd I do? I said, no. I'm sorry, I got to go. And I got in the car. And as soon as I got in the car and started heading, thinking about where I needed to go, and still to this day, I think about the blessing that she missed out on that God intended for me to give, and the blessing I had from giving her, and what God had in store for her life and my life, because I was too busy to stop to be boldly obedient and to tell a bishop. You know, now I would have loved to go in there and say, sorry, I'm an hour late, bishop. I was talking to somebody about Jesus. To me, that would be more valuable in my life than schmoozing up to somebody who, whatever. Amen. You with me? Amen. And in that matter, I realized the power of bold obedience. Not that I always answer, but that I struggle at times. But I believe bold obedience is the most impactful thing that you may ever hear in your life. Because I often wonder in that last situation, what God would have done in my life and her life. What blessing would I have received? And since that time, I've repented for that missed opportunity, and I've asked God to send somebody else her way in order to do that. It's like having $5 obedience versus $100 obedience. God, I'm going to throw it out to you. And so what I want to do, God led me to this verse from Acts chapter 5. So if you have Acts chapter 5, you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there with me, and we're going to take a look at this. And this is after, there's been a lot of things going on here. At the point where we're going to pick up from, in Acts chapter 5, verse 17, at this point, the apostles had gone to the temple, and they came in contact with a lame man. Now, for those of you who are above 20, that doesn't mean like they were so lame. Not like that. It just means they couldn't walk. And in this case, they went up, and he was asking for money. And Peter, being obedient to God, looked at him and said, "I don't have any money. But what I do have to you, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God, rise and walk." And then the man went and did the Macarena and was twerking in the middle of the square. This guy who never walked. People knew him, but they didn't. And even people were like, "Wait a second, weren't you just out? Wait." He's like, "Woo!" He's jumping around. And some of you maybe remember the old Sunday school songs. He went walking and leaping and praising God. All because Peter said, "Here's what I have in obedience to God." Here, think how cruel this is if he got the misconnections with God. He looks at somebody who can't walk, hadn't been able to walk. Everybody in the world knows that's around him knows he can't walk. And he looks at him and says, "I don't have money. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus." And he says, But his bold obedience, was so bold and he had no wavering in it. They said, "Get up and walk." And he went walking. Now, because of this, it created a little bit of stir that you have the Sanhedrin. And here's what the Sanhedrin do. So we'll pick up in verse 17. And what the Sanhedrin would do is if you had a problem, they would gather you, put you in a circle, and surround you and throw questions at you. It's like you're the center of counterpoint, that show. Yeah, it'd be like that kind of thing. So here we are, and we're going to pick up here in verse 17 of chapter 5. Then the high priest and all the associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." We'll stop there. Let's just start with a prayer. Lord God, we're coming here today. There's so much other stuff going on in lives, but I just ask that we just be able to stop life and to hear your small voice, quiet voice in the midst of our hectic lives. Because it's that voice that we hear obedience in, God. Give us that oomph feeling in life. Send us in the way and make it clear. Shut doors where they need to be shut. Open windows where we need to get through. And ultimately, God, may we seek your face and do what we need to do. Amen. So I want to share some things today about BO. I want to talk today about three thoughts or three effects about bold obedience. And the first one comes from this, that BO, or bold obedience, usually brings opposition. When you are boldly obedient to God, get ready to get opposed by somebody. Look at what we saw here. The high priest and his associates were filled with what? Jealousy, and they grabbed them together. And they arrested them and put them in the public jail. Now, just in case you're following along, you want to go back and read this. This is the second time they're in jail. Not a good day. Not a good day where you're thrown in jail twice. And each time, it's because they are being obedient to what God is calling them to do. So it makes it very difficult. The problem in our Christian culture today is something like this. We believe that when we serve God, that everything should be hunky-dory in life. That we should have no struggles, no problems, that everything should be us sitting on a cloud, playing Stairway to Heaven, and enjoying with a big smile. And we think that when we walk out, although the rain is pouring everywhere else, there should be sun that goes, and we have music played everywhere we go. And that is something that is prevalent in our culture and popular in our culture. But as I look at the scripture, I find it that many times it seems that way that's different. Another time, I was headed to seminary. And as I was headed out, I was running late. And I had this kind of tendency to have my foot a little bit hard on the gas. And I'm rolling along. Roll along. Oh, I can't wait. We're going to get there. It's going to be a good day. We got the service today. It's going to be good. I'm going to be part of it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm on my way. And all of a sudden, woo! I'm like, "God, how can you pull me over?" And the person asked me where I was going. I said, well, I told them where I was going. And they were, They said, you know what? Okay, we'll let you go. Later in that week, I was headed to seminary again. Whoa, the Lord, here I go, here we go. And I get there, and all of a sudden, guess what happened? Woo! So the person comes up to the door and goes, where are you headed? I told him, I said, didn't I pull you over a couple days ago? I said, yeah. They said, going to give you one this time. I said, all right. But God, I'm going to serve you, Lord. How can I get this ticket? And number two, how am I going to explain it to my wife? And a lot of times we think that when we're going and doing something for God, that we shouldn't have any challenges. We don't look at the other side of it. Like we were talking about last week, is God is our perfect parent. We don't understand the other side of it. What if I was running so fast and not paying attention that somebody sideswiped me or I sideswiped somebody else? God knows what is going on, and I paid that ticket begrudgingly, but I paid it. And we moved on. We have to move from, you know, God, I should be married to someone now if I'm single, somebody who is smoking hot and loves you. Or God, my kids should never be sick because I serve you. And God, this one that I pray every year, the Eagles really should win the Super Bowl, God, because they are your team. You say you shall mount up with wings as eagles, not Cowboys. Notice that. And yet, it doesn't happen. And I'm like, God, why? And then I go into a whole theology of suffering and try to justify. But the truth is, when I boldly obey God with everything that I have, Satan wants to attack me. Remember last week we talked about nobody was tackled on the bench? It's when we're in the game. And Satan recognizes that we are in the game and he wants to tackle us. I want to say this statement. If you are not ready to face opposition for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. If you're not ready to face opposition by being obedient to God, then you're not ready to be used by God as well. There are so many challenges in life, and I could tell you when I was a pastor in an organ or in a church structure system where I knew all the players, I knew how to be at a church and not. It was an appointment system. They move you around. You're guaranteed a job. You're doing this. I had this thing in my head about starting a church, but I really didn't fully understand all this thing. And you know, but finally when I said, all right, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to start this church. I'm going to come home. And I'm going to start a church to the place where I grew up. What I began to look at and find out is that some of my biggest opposition came from fellow Christians. I thought other churches would be like, hallelujah, another church that is going to reach more in the community and reach out. Guess what I found out very differently? I ran into a pastor one time who actually, that bishop that I was hurrying to go see, actually saw me one time, was so nasty to me, and I said, oh, no, come here. What's the deal? And the person said, well, I don't want to talk to you. We actually had a meeting about you. I said, oh, I wasn't invited. And the meeting was about, what are we going to do about him? Now, keep in mind that most of our population still does not know Jesus. And we could have 50 churches, and they're still not reaching out to them. And yet, we're sitting here playing these stupid games, not reaching out the sides of our walls to reach people with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. We'd rather play our own little battles that exist here. I kind of said something like that to him. And what I found out is opposition came from within the family, not from without the family. They would say things like, there's enough churches already, rather than, awesome, there's more people, there's more avenues that we can reach people for Christ. You know, we would be in deep trouble, as many churches as there is in this county, if everybody decided to come to church one week, we wouldn't have enough room to take a third of them. And so we need to recognize that God wants us to have this. Or there's other things, like for the point when I had my fifth child. And people went, five children? Do you know what causes that? I said, yes. And then they go, five in this economy? But then I look in obedience that was something that God had desired. And I look in the scripture that it says, children are a blessing from God. Not a curse. You got to hold on to that when they're teenagers. You got to hold on to it when they're telling you, if you want to link last weekend, I don't have a window. You know what I mean? They're a blessing from God, not a curse from God. And then you start to add things as my wife decided she wanted to homeschool her, our children. And people think, you know what? They're going to wear their hair in buns and be weird. And they're going to wear corduroy skirts and make their own butter. And they give you all this kind of weird approaches to life that your kids are going to be backwards and just have no sociability. And it's not that at all. I have two that are part of the school system. We don't have a problem with that. It's just we felt that God was calling us to do something, and we wanted to do that for our children. Bold obedience, but yet conflict. And I got to tell you, my kids, two of them are in high school, and they're fine. CCPS is doing a great job with them. And guess what? The other ones are doing well. I've told my kids since the day Melissa started wanting to homeschool them that if something, God forbid, happens to mommy, you guys will enjoy your first day of school. Because daddy ain't doing it. God would have to open up the heavens and say, deal with these children at home. And I, no, God, anything else. But you see what I mean? There is opposition that exists whenever you go ahead and do that. There may be some of you that the world is telling you, buy, get, take credit, this, get more debt, because you gotta have. And you may say, no, God wants me to be responsible with what I have. God wants me to approach the finances that he's given me and approach them in a godly way. And through that, one of the first things I'm gonna do is give to him. And I'm gonna give to me, but I'm gonna put away. I'm going to put some godly principles about finances together. But you won't have that. So that's okay. You know, I think one of the things in sharing this week, in looking at the loss of Janet, who was literally like a second mom to me, and she got after me like a second, third, fourth mom, is several years ago, their house burnt down. And it was a house where it was always open, and I could be at it, and I could connect. It was a major part of my upbringing. And then Roy had passed away before that, and Janet passed away this past week, and for the last several years had been dealing with dementia. And what I realized is the special thing to me was not the house. The special thing was the investment they made in the relationships with me and other people in their lives. That's what continues on in their faith with Christ. It pains me every time I go by and see the house not there. But it's not the house. It was the people who were there who had love for people outside of the community, and they just brought them in. That's where we need to go ahead. God may be telling you, open your house to some people who just need love and care. I heard this week, I've heard of stories of people who just go from house to house to house and never find out what love is and how it affects them in life. Don't ever, ever worry when you meet opposition. Worry when you don't have opposition in your life. Because you may not be fully following God's obedience, and you may have this disconnect in life. And you may, that may be why you're not meeting any opposition. You don't have to have opposition if you're headed down the wrong path. You know, there may be another radical view that you may have. God may be telling you that, you know, what I found out in about the last 15, 20 years is Sunday becomes the day where everybody packs everything in that they couldn't do the rest of the week. It's where the athletic travel teams, they've got, I heard one that wasn't an athletic travel team, it was some other kind of other travel, but the extracurricular activities are full on Sunday mornings. And God may be talking to you and saying, you know what? I want you to prove to your children that worship of me is the most important thing in their lives. And that's counterculture. And you may say, well, if I don't have them involved in underwater basket weaving at age 3, they won't make the Olympics when it's a sport. And they're never, ever going to do that. And God may say, but I want you to go ahead and teach them what's really important, what lasts for me. Maybe God wants just to show what the priority is in life. Maybe you're here and you're a deadbeat magnet, meaning that you're a fine young woman, and you just tend to get the biggest deadbeat jerks that there ever is that come into your life. And you've been dating, and you've been trying the dating scene. You even tried that ChristianMingle.com, and you found out there's some Christians who are jerks as well. And you've tried them all, and God says, you know what? I want you to just take a chill and go ahead and focus on me and allow and just clear your head And you find that. And then all of a sudden, your friends are going out. We're going to club tonight. We're going to go find us some men. Woo, let's go. All right, we're going to do this all night. And you say, nah, you're going to have that obedience part. Well, maybe. And so maybe God's just teaching you something there. I don't know what it is. You probably may, but you maybe God just says, you know, I want to give you something that lasts, not something that's temporary. And in order to do that, I need you to clear your head and be in a place where you can be ready to receive the person I have for you. Everybody okay? All right, number two. Bold obedience often releases miracles. Bold obedience often releases miracles. Let's look at verse 19, if we can here. In verse 19, now I want you to listen to how this is stated here. And in verse 19, they're in the prison, and all of it says, now this is Luke who's writing this, and he says, But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm locked away for the second time in a jail, and an angel comes and lets me out, you're going to hear my story not like, but an angel of the Lord came, opened the door and let him out. I'm going to say, oh my gosh, you won't believe this. Hold on to your seats. You better sit on your butt because this is going to knock you on it. Here we go. I was sitting there in the jail, second time today, and all of a sudden, this big angel comes in and goes, yo, time to go. Lets us out. I'm not joking. I swear. No, I wasn't in any kind of funky place. I smelling something weird. I wasn't that way. This is what happened. Oh my gosh. Look, I took a selfie of it. Look, here we are, me and the angel. I'm going to post that sucker. It's going to be crazy. But look at the response. But during the night, angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Why? Why do they do that? Because they just expect the miraculous to happen. One of the problems with the church today is we do not expect the miraculous anymore. We don't. We expect programmatic ministry, which is good, but we don't expect the God who created this world, who rose Jesus from the dead with the power of the Holy Spirit, who gave his life for us, who ascended into heaven, who said, I'm going to give you another counsel of the Holy Spirit, and you will do even these things and greater in my name. We do not expect the miraculous to happen anymore. And it doesn't because we don't have that bold obedience of expectation. When we have bold obedience, we don't get surprised by the miraculous. And then we can go ahead and say, okay. For instance, I learned several years ago about a man who talked about defeatist prayers. Often when we pray like this. We say, Lord God, I ask that you just touch this person, heal them, bring restoration to their body, if you're willing. As I read the scripture, it tells us where two or three are gathered, so is he, and if you ask in my name, it will be given to you. Amen?
Amen.
I was testing to see if the wave was going to happen right there. if you missed it last week, there you go, the wave. Isn't it fun to do the wave? And in doing so, when we're looking at this whole situation that exists here, what we're finding out is that God wants to do the miraculous in your lives if you boldly believe him. If you go into a room and say, I just believe you're going to do this, let God do it and believe it. And expect the miraculous to happen. I know people in this church that we have prayed for and we have seen the miraculous happen in their lives. We have anointed people, as the scripture says. If one of you is sick, anoint them with oil, pray over them, and the one who is sick will get well. It doesn't say, if I'm willing, will get well in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not for me to figure out how God does the miraculous. It's for me to trust in him and believe he's going to bring the miraculous that exists there. I heard a story one time about there was a time where this area had lots of drought, just so much drought. And this little girl, they had a prayer meeting, and everybody was coming in. They were praying for drought, and nothing happened. The next day they prayed again, and they looked up, and a little girl came in carrying an umbrella. For her, she was saying, by the time we leave this meeting, God's going to make it rain. You see, that's the difference in just praying, God, if you will, make it rain, to the point of, I'm bringing my umbrella because I know that God is going to come through. Do you believe that God is going to come through in your life? Do you trust for that? Don't look for God to do the ordinary in your life. Look for God to work and move in the impossible areas of your life. Personally, for myself, this is an important area because my grandmother, my father's mother, She was a little bit like Janet. She would tell you exactly what was on your mind. She was tough. And one of the things that you found out, my dad was in an accident. I told you about that last week with his thump, 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 right, running after me. My dad was in an accident when he was 10 years old. He was thrown out of the car. He was run over by his father's car that ran over him. When they looked for him, they found him underneath the car. When they took him to the hospital, they pronounced him dead on arrival. They went to my grandmother, who was a woman of faith from day one. And they looked at her and said, "I'm sorry, your son has passed." She said, "No, my God will not let my son die. Go back in." And I'm here today because of the faithful prayer and the obedient prayer of my grandmother, because I believe he was dead, and God said, "I hear your prayer," and raised him up. And because of her obedience to God, my father has touched hundreds and thousands of lives for the kingdom of God. He's touched my life, and that this church is an offshoot of my grandmother's faithful prayer that now is touching people, not only here, but around the country and around the world by the power of the internet. That is the great miraculous God that we serve when we're obedient to him, because all of us in that situation would fall apart. But for her, my God will not let my son die. Now, I know sometimes it happens where we lose those. And I don't understand all that, but I know one thing. I know that God holds us in his hand and takes something that Satan intended for bad and brings it to good. That's what I know, that I know that I know. We were made for eternity, but unfortunately this world's corrupted and we don't get to experience that. But I know that when I die, it is the greatest form of healing that I get to be with my Savior. I know today there's not a Janet Vanning who's sitting in a room that doesn't know who it is, but I know there's one who's up there singing in heaven and praising God. Isn't that where we all want to get to? We're all just passing through in this world. That's number two. Number two is often release God's miracles. Number three, bold obedience always demands trust and faith in God. Look at what they said. They said, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life." They just got out of jail for the second time. How many of you, after you get out of jail for the second time, are going to be excited to go back to the place where they arrested you in the first place twice? Guess where you're going to end up again? But as we look at this, they didn't give them the details. Have you ever felt that God's telling you something and you don't get the details? Because sometimes it's like Jack Nicholson in that one movie, "You can't handle the truth." You can't handle the details. When I felt God calling me to start a church, if he had ever given me the details of what it would take, I would have said, "Ain't no way, baby," because I don't have it. But he loves when we don't have it, because that's when he makes it happen. When my son Jacob was born, he was a preemie. And Melissa and I had read all those books. She read the books and told me about them. We watched videos. We went to the class, and he was born in very, like, crazy circumstances. She also got a uterine infection, and I remember we had had it planned out that we were going to have the baby come home and sit there and be like the happy couple on a Hallmark card. It didn't work out that way. And I remember looking at Judy and going, "Melissa, I can handle. Jacob, I can handle. I can't handle Melissa and Jacob." And she came and moved in and helped through that. I realized very quickly that I thought parenting was you go, you get pregnant, you have a baby, here it is, you take it home, you feed them, they sleep, and everything's wonderful. I found out it ain't that way. And I'm still finding out every day in my life what it means to be a parent. But God is faithful. So how do I start obeying God? How do I start to obey God? Well, I start obeying God in several ways. Number one, I need to obey God's word. I don't have this on your sheet, but I need to start by obeying God's word. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, last night I was down in the basement. I was getting ready to print something, and I thought the power went out, but it just kicked the breaker. But it still was dark. So I pulled out my phone, and I started. If you've ever had a lamp to your feet, it only lights what's around you. I can't see to the end. And that's how the word of God is. It lights what's around me. So if you're wondering about how to obey God, start with the last thing he told you to do. and then you'll take a step, and he'll take it from there. Hebrews 4:12, we're coming back here, says this, make every effort to live at peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble. Why? Because what we find out here is that if we don't obey fully God about keeping peace, about going ahead and forgiveness, then what we find out is disobedience hampers or the challenges our endurance. Disobedience challenges endurance. Think big in life about where God wants you to go. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Bold obedience always demands trust and hope. God may be challenging you in some area of your life to be faithful. Some areas of your life are going to be a bold step. Some are going to be just taking, God may be telling you, take a lesser paying job so I can lead you into ministry in an area. Some of you are going to have to step up and step out. Some of you, God may be saying, I want you to lead a small group. And you say, God, not me. And he said, no, I know you don't have the details, but I'm going to lead you in that area. Some of you, God may be saying, I want you to be part of a small group. There may be somebody who's single here today, and you're looking down the row, and you see that a beautiful lady down the road, and you're thinking, I don't see a ring. I'm glad I came to church today. And so you're thinking, and by faith, God's going to have you go and ask them, hey, would you like to come to the small group that I'm having? And you don't even have anybody yet for the small group. It's a real small group. And then maybe after a while, you gather others in that small group, and before you know it, you guys form a relationship, you get married, and you have a child, and you name your first son Jack, because you remember today exactly this is where you heard that, and you wanted to go ahead and respond to that. Who knows? But what I'm saying is it takes faith and trust in God through bold obedience. It won't make sense. Look in verse 21. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts. You notice that they did not wait a second. They went right away. Many of us are missing it in life. We're unlike the disciples. We miss out on challenge, on going with obedience, and we end up not receiving the blessing that God has for us. There's no angel that opens a door if there's no obedience that puts them back in the square. As I read, Hebrews tells us to make every effort in our lives for obedience to God. We are told to live at peace, and that depends as much as it depends on us. Often in those moments when we're hurt, in those moments when we struggle, we stop rather than press through. And one of the things we find out is this, and it's in your sheet, that disobedience challenges endurance because why? They didn't stop and they didn't wait. Why? Because belated obedience is disobedience. For instance, when I tell my kids, go clean your room now, and I go back up an hour later, it's not clean. I go back up 2 days later, it's not clean. I go back up 3 weeks later. That is disobedience. I'm going to get to it. When? I told you to do this 3 days ago. I'm still stepping on clothes. I'm still stepping on trash. Clean it up. The other thing is half-done obedience is also disobedience. Halfway is not all the way. You can never be fully committed. When God prompts you and calls you, do it. Do it, even if it doesn't make sense. Obey immediately and obey completely. As we finish this today, in Acts chapter 5, they go back and they're preaching. The Sanhedrin once again brings them in. And as they bring them in, it says, we gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. What's the name? They didn't even want to mention Jesus' name. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And Peter and the other apostles said, we must obey God rather than men. Let's say that with me. We what? We must. We must. Say it again. We must. We must. When we are bold and passionate about what we believe deeply, we must do it. If we are passionate and bold, it has to happen. When you fall in love with somebody, this was a love weekend, right? Valentine's Day, love. I see where McDonald's has like special little things. But when we are passionate, the praise team's going to come up. But when we are passionate about someone, it affects our actions, doesn't it? It affects how we do. When we think about that person, when we do things for that person, it's not so that we get something back. It's because we are passionately in love with that person or that individual. Why do we run our kids everywhere all the time, even though we're exhausted? Because we are passionate about our love for them. And I want to tell you, when you are passionately in love with Jesus, you will become boldly obedient. And when you're boldly obedient, guess what will happen? The blessings of God will flow and flow down. We must have BO. We must have BO. We must. Somebody say that with me. We must have BO. Stand up. Say, give me some BO. All right. Lord God, we come to you today and we recognize that sometimes the bold obedience one isn't one that makes us go out of the church going, yeah, I want to obey even though it's going to be difficult. Yeah, hallelujah. But God, we know that through that, that is the means that we are able to receive your blessings. So God, as we're all gathered here right now, in this third week of this series, help us just to really embrace this endurance that you have led before us, this endurance that challenges us to move on, that when circumstances are one way or the other, that God, we press through. And I want to go ahead and realize that there are those people in this room that are struggling in areas of their lives. You have a loss that's been in your life recently or later, maybe a relationship, maybe just that someone passed. And that has left a hole in your heart. God, it's not by lack of trust and faith. I mentioned that last week. If you say that, then you don't even need to be part of this. And not because of that. But it's about trusting in you, where faith is being sure what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That we commit all those in our family to you, all those in our lives to you. But God, we pray that your will be done. We want to receive your blessings. We want to recognize that it's you that gives us strength to journey on. That when we're in this race, we don't look at the winds that howl. Doesn't cause us to stop in the middle of the road when we can't see, but it has us to just focus our eyes on you, the one who started this novel called Jack, the one who is going to finish it to completion when you call it. For that, we give you praise in who you are. For God, we know you love us. Help us return that back in faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen. As always, there's going to be some people available to pray with you. Please go ahead and take advantage of that time. This is the time where you have chance to do that. And I want you to ask yourself a question. God, where is it in my life where I've not been obedient to you? Where is it that I need that bold obedience in my life to see you do some miraculous, to have me trust you more, and so that your name is taken to the world? Amen.
From wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't hear. So lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart. You are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your hands. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are
while I was sitting here, God just kind of gave me some things, just thinking about some stuff. And one of the things, there was there's an old saying that goes this way, that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Anybody ever heard that one before? And I recognize that in our lives, through all, there's, when I think around this room, I know there's many who have gone through struggles and sorrows. And that in the midst of those, often we wonder why God does something one way with somebody and doesn't do it the other way with somebody else. And it has nothing to do with faith, but has everything to do with that God is going to heal that and take something that Satan calls for destruction and bring peace and glory to everybody else and bring glory to his name through that. Sometimes that doesn't just heal there, but sometimes what it does is just allow us to recognize that through God, we can just hand it to him and recognize that this is not the end for the Christian. This is only the beginning. That one day, all those people that we lost in our lives, that had a faith and a belief in Jesus Christ, we're going to be surrounded by that great crowd of witnesses. Remember week one? They did it. They made it. And then when we get there, I can too. And that was just, I can't wait to that heavenly banquet table one day where I get to sit at the table with not only those great people like Peter and Paul and James and the rest of them, but when I get to sit with my grandmother, when I get to sit with the people that I love that have gone on, people that meant so much to my life, that fought this race and displayed for me who God is in their lives. And they endured. And although we thought it was the end, it's only the beginning for them. Amen? I don't know. I just think God wanted that for somebody. I don't know who. Next week is our last week of this chapter 12 series. And our theme next week is going to be this. Whole lot of shaking going on. So we're going to shake.
That.
A whole lot of shaking. All right, have an awesome week in Jesus Christ. Amen.